in store. I was the hurt of life's dream, but I hold on to this hope and the promise that he brings. That there will be a place where no more suffering. There will be a day with no more tears, no more pain, and no more fears. There will be a day when the burdens of this place will be no more. We'll see Jesus face to face.
Good evening, Remnant, and welcome to 7x70. This is Ranch Wrangler Richard coming to you live tonight, this Thursday night, July 7th, 7/7/2022. Let me get all the buttons pushed here. We thank you for joining us. My apologies for not making it back to the Radio Ranch in time for Wednesday night prayer meeting last night. I was doing some traveling and just could not get back and getting everything done and could not get back to the Radio Ranch, so my apologies for that. But we did get some prayer chains out this week, and we will continue to do that. And this next Wednesday, we'll get together on prayer meeting night, and we'll certainly have plenty to pray for, that's for sure. Well, thank you for joining us. We will have the phone lines open tonight. Got some current events, some interesting things happening, and we'll be glad to take your call. Lots going on, and thought we'd talk about some current events tonight, as well as we're printing the next newsletter, Volume 6, and so thought I'd share some of that with you. But well, join me in a word of prayer, if you would. And Heavenly Father, we come to you in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, the only way that we can get to the Father, and that is through the Son, Jesus Christ. And we thank you for making a way from the beginning of time, from before time, making a way for us to do that very thing, to come back into relationship with you. And I thank you for that. Lord Jesus, thank you for your sacrifice that you made, for that perfect example that you were and are in going to the cross for us and bearing our sins and allowing us to come back into that relationship, that proper relationship with God. And so thank you for that, Lord. Father, I pray that you would allow us to continue to open the eyes of the people. Lord, I pray you would use us to open the eyes of the people to see who they are, to see, Lord, as when I talked with Brother Paul yesterday, to see that it is a war that we are in. No, not a war over in the Ukraine, but a war right here, a spiritual war, Lord, with those that hate you and those that hate those that love you. And that's us. And let them see, Lord, help us to open their eyes to who your people in this nation are and to their responsibility that comes along with that. Thank you, Lord, for the times that we are in, the perilous times, the fiery ordeals that are among all of us. We thank you for that. We understand, Lord, and see that it is an opportunity for us to grow in our faith, and it's an opportunity for us to share your gospel with others. You are paving the way, Lord, as these things happen, as they happen to us, Lord, for our testing, so that we can pass the test. Sometimes it takes several tests, that's for sure. But so we can pass the test so that we are equipped. The remnant is equipped to share your word truthfully and with love and patience, and to help open the eyes of those that, Lord, that are like we were at one time and just have not had their eyes cleaned and washed and that spell broken yet. I pray for your blessings on this broadcast tonight, Lord, that as we ask that nothing but truth from your word come from this ministry. And I pray that what we share with the remnant tonight, Lord, is a blessing to them and an encouragement to them, Lord. I pray all this, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. And remnant, we do have the phone lines open tonight, 307-745-5913. And today, July 7th, 7-7, it has been 11 years since our pastor was called home. It's hard to believe, it's hard for us to believe here that it's been that long. It is. But, you know, before he passed away, we met and, with, of course, John and Jody and Jason and myself, and he encouraged us to, you know, as long as it was possible, to continue on with the ministry, because it is a ministry that, and that Pastor shared with us more than once. But the ministry was not about Pastor Peter J. Peters. He was certainly a charismatic spokesperson and one that got through to the hard heart that I had. And the way he explained the gospel and the Bible story. The gospel is not just Jesus Christ. It is certainly the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And there is so much to it, so much to the Bible story and understanding who Jesus came for, who the house of Israel is, who the lost sheep of the house of Israel is. And Pastor Peters had that knack, that uncanny way of being able to get the Bible story across to a wretch like me, and I am certainly forever humbled and grateful that I was able to, that my family members, my wife's family, persevered in doing their best to share this message with us, with myself and my wife, and I hope that's an encouragement to you. If you have friends and family that you've been trying to share the Anglo-Israel message with, who we are, and the complete Bible story, don't give up. Continue to pray about it, and remember that as we do that, we're planting seeds, is what we're doing. And we also are to be examples, to be living examples of that gospel story, of a changed life, right? A changed life. We're to be, as 2 Timothy 2:15 talks about, a workman worthy, right? Not ashamed. And so we are, as 2 Timothy 4 says, to have patience, and, you know, to live our life in Christian conduct, especially now. Now, does that mean we walk around limp-wristed and just ignore everything that's going on? Far be it. Far be it. No. We are to be like those salty fishermen that Jesus chose to teach and to have as his disciples, and then to go into all the world and teach and tell of him and his message. And so we are to have that salty mentality, that salty, and I'm not talking about that you have to do it with curse words. That's not what I'm talking about, but have our speech, as the word says, with a little pinch of salt, just enough to flavor it. So it's not bland, it's not dry, but it's not so salty that the people gag it back up. No, we have to be a little salt. A little dab will do you, and a little bit goes a long way. We have so many new people that have come on the ministry in the last 11 years that may not be aware. We have, when Pastor passed away, we did a memorial, Pastor Peter's memorial newsletter, and I still have copies. That's from 2011. I still have copies. If you would like one, I wanted to put that out and let people know that we still have that. We also have a memorial of, it's a music CD, but it's a memorial CD of some of his favorite songs, and so we have that as well. And back in the day, back in 2011, when all this happened, we did have a memorial service, and like I said, put this newsletter together. If you would like that, just contact us and ask for the Pastor Peter's memorial newsletter and or the CD, and we'd be glad to send it to you. Did want to mention that here on the 11 years. Wow. It's been a ride. What a ride. And I thought that right here at the anniversary of Pastor's passing, the memorial time, what an interesting thing to happen with the Georgia Guidestones Monument. And I've noticed that the mainstream media has done very little coverage of it, and that's fine. That's just dandy, really, because the more they don't cover it, the more people look up and try to find out for themselves. And I think, you know, I was texting with a brother the other day about this, and God is not slow about his promises. And when we have to remember, Remnant, that when we have confessed our sin before God, the Bible says that's the only thing, unconfessed sin, unrepentant sin, that's the only thing that can separate us from our God. And so we remember that when we have confessed our sins, when we have repented of our sin, and then when we pray, God, he hears those prayers and he answers those prayers. And let me tell you something. Years ago, he heard those prayers and he answered those prayers. Those Georgia Guidestones have been prayed over. Oh, I saw a picture today. Alex Jones was there, you know, helping push them down sometime in the past. I don't know what it was. I don't know that he was praying in Jesus' name for the destruction of those. I don't know. But I know others did. And I know that they were anointed, re-anointed, you might say, reclaimed, and their power bound. And you know, I know there's some people that don't even really. The enemy put up their this. Oh, back. When was it? I made a note here. Here it is. This page. The Guidestones, sometimes referred to as America's Stonehenge, feature the same engraved message of world government and population control in 12 different languages, including four ancient languages such as Sanskrit, Egyptian hieroglyphics, and Babylonian cuneiform. The English inscription reads, "Maintain humanity under 500 million in perpetual balance with nature. Guide reproduction wisely, improving fitness and diversity. Unite humanity with a living new language." Now, you students of the Bible, that should ring a bell. With a new language. Remember how the Tower of Babel was? They spoke one language. And God said, "Ha, now that they do this, they think they can do anything. We're going to stop it." But and so there is nothing new under the sun. This is what's what was anyway inscripted on the Georgia Guidestones. Rule, passion, faith, tradition, and all things with tempered reason. Protect people and nations with fair laws and just courts. Talk about a one world order, one world law, one world court, so that we can protect all the people the same. Oh, it sounds good, doesn't it? Let all nations rule internally, resolving external disputes in a world court. Avoid petty laws and useless officials. And you know, I wanted to mention this because I was traveling, listening to National Public Radio this week. And they were talking about a shooting somewhere and how, oh, these poor communities, you know, they need to stop writing tickets and stop having traffic stops for traffic violations and running red lights and having your tag expired and brake lights expired and all that. And, you know, maybe. We have our laws, and I understand they're small L laws, guidelines, for our safety, and they certainly are abused in areas. And the colored gentleman that was doing the interview, he said, "Yeah," he said, I could be pulled over. I got a brake light out now. I could be pulled over, and I don't know if the police might shoot me." And so that's what they're looking to do, is to avoid petty laws and useless officials. You know, your local elected officials, they're useless. We can bring some in that know better and that will rule and lead better. And that's part of this, what's been on these Georgia Guidestones for years. And what has been part of this push for this one world order, as we heard George Bush Sr. Tell us about back on a early 9/11. Couple more here. It says balance personal rights with social duties. And so, see, what that means is, you know, your personal right to the Second Amendment, you may have to give that up because you have a social responsibility to do that. And that's their attitude. Of course, that's for us and not for them. Anyway, prize truth, beauty, love, seeking harmony with the infinite. Be not a cancer on the earth. Leave room for nature. Leave room for nature. They were put up in 1980, $500,000. Ted Turner's basically the person that did it, but and you know, promoting his. That's another one of the great things our pastor taught us, was that the enemy, they have to tell us what they want to do or what they've done or what they plan on doing. It's just a law of battle, a law of turmoil or conflict, but they have to do it. We see it in our in the science fiction. We see that whether it's books, magazines, movies, what they have done or what they plan on doing. And we see it here. Oh, the $500,000 was on behalf of an anonymous small group of loyal Americans. BS. I call BS on that one. Everybody knows it was Ted Turner that did it back in 1980. And then they say on the History Channel, the way the pillars are erected track astrological and solar cycles, similar to Stonehenge in England. Oh, it's, and ExploreGeorgia.org says, the statue is family friendly, and they serve as an astronomical calendar. Every day at noon, the sun shines through a narrow hole in the structure and illuminates the day's date on an engraving. You know why it does it at noon? Because that's when the day starts. How about that? So they did have a little bit of that in there. I added that. That wasn't on their part. But the other morning, 4 a.m., there's a boom. Somebody blew one up. And here, just the next day, you have demolition crews in there knocking the rest of it down. Now, does that seem a little odd to you? You know, we had here in Laramie, had a tractor trailer hit an overpass pillar probably 6 months ago. And it took them about 4.5 months before they could get that fixed. And Remnant, you see it all over. Potholes or roads tore up or, you know, a building. I'm driving down. We're printing a newsletter, Volume 6. And so I've been driving down. I've been out of the office a couple days, driving down to the print shop by the church, working on the newsletter. And there's a burned-out car about halfway down there. Just, you know, I don't know what happened. Cars side of the road all burned up. It was there Sunday, and it's been there the 2 days I went down this week. And so, you know, normally government doesn't move very fast, right? A building gets tore up or something falls. It takes time to schedule and coordinate and set up. Boy, unless it's the Georgia Guidestones. And one of the four outer pillars was reduced to rubble early Wednesday morning. And by 5:20 p.m., there's demolition crews out there the same day tearing down the rest of it. And again, because of the pastor's teachings, I have a couple ideas on that. I thought I'd run them by you. And again, Remnant, phone lines are open. Let me get my water over here. 307-745-5913 if you'd like to give a call. But how often can the demolition crew get there the same day to finish, you know, cleaning it up, tearing it down, whatever? Seems a little fishy to me. And my thoughts, I'll give you my 2 cents on it, whether you want it or not. If you've tuned in, you get my 2 cents. Might not be 2 cents worth of it, I don't know, we'll see. But I think that what it is the time that we are in, the enemy, they do not want to bring attention to what is on these Georgia Guidestones. Why? Well, because it's getting a little too close for comfort for them. I think people are beginning to see that, well, how can you maintain humanity under 500 million in perpetual balance with nature? You know what that means? That means if we need to kill another 100,000 to balance with the whales or the bumblebees or the flowers, then we do that. And people are seeing that, well, things like vaccine and food shortages and famines are reducing and maintaining humanity at a lower level. And so anyway, that's my thought on it, is I think that the enemies that are behind this, these Georgia Guidestones, that they don't want a lot of attention brought to it. They don't want it drawn out. So I think they put the word out, tear it down, clean it up, and we'll go from there. Now, I could be completely wrong. I'm not claiming to be a prophet. It's just my thoughts on it, my 2 cents. And, you know, 2 cents along with about $3 more would probably get you a cup of coffee somewhere. Plain coffee, black, a small, just brewed coffee, nothing fancy. But I think that's what it is. I think that's their plan. But I think those that hunger and thirst for righteousness, I think they see this. You know, if it was somebody, I don't know who blew him up, but I think that it was. Anyway, I think there's more to it than meets the eye. Well, I see the phone lines ringing. Let's try the phone lines. Good evening and welcome to 7x7.
Hey, Rick Kirk.
Hey, good evening, Mick. How are you?
Okay. It's going to lightning and thunder down here tonight, for
yeah?
sure.
Yeah, you guys are in your monsoon season, so it's that time of the year for that. That is for sure.
Yeah. It's kind of rain. It's 4th of July. That night, then after it stopped raining, then tonight it started raining again. Well, looks like
yep.
It's raining. Now, as for the Georgia Guidestones, I think it was God. You want to start that?
Yeah, I don't doubt that. I think that, you know, they've been prayed over, they've been anointed, and... you know, God works in mysterious ways. He's not slow concerning his promises, and that's kind of what I started out with tonight, is that he, you know, when we pray, he hears and answers our prayers. Now, the answer can be yes, it can be no, or it can be not right now. And sometimes that's just how it is. And I think that, you know, that these are part of the New World Order, putting their plans out for everybody to see, and now they've been taken down. So I think that's a good thing.
Yep. Now the can I try to be next on that list?
Nick, I didn't understand that. I'm sorry.
I said, Chad Carter, will he be the next on that list?
Oh, I don't know. He's the one that put him up. Who knows? He's just one of many.
Yeah, that's right.
They're just one of many. You see when they, you know, when our people can barely make it through into their 70s or 80s, and these others are still, you know, in their late 80s and 90s, and, it is not natural. And so he is one of many. We see him in Hollywood. We see him in politics. We see him as, you know, the George Soroses and the Ted Turners and the Gates and all of them.
Yeah.
And so, I don't know. I don't know who else is on it. I know that we're seeing change. You know, they've been there since 1980. In 1980, I was in like 9th or 10th grade. I graduated high school in 1983. And so those Guidestones have been there a long time. And you know, whether they're planning something different or what, they're down. And that's a good thing. That is a good thing. So I think it's something for us to, you know, one thing that we can... we can praise God for and move on from that. Well, Mick, thanks for your call. I appreciate the call and I appreciate the email.
I'll better back out now. Let's see why I call in.
All right, Mick. Thanks a lot, brother. God bless. Well, Remnant, the phone lines are open, 307-745-5913. And we were already printing our volume 6 of the newsletter, so we did not get to get anything in there about this, because this just happened, yesterday? And so, and at Eastern time at that. But I have seen several articles on these Guidestones and texts and emails, and And so I'm sure that it'll be a topic for a little bit, whether the enemy wants to forget about it or not. I did get an article, and I've got it in a little two-page article in this next newsletter, on dollars and rubles and yens, yuans, however, I don't know how the Chinese pronounce that. I don't speak Chinese, barely speak English, and gold. And it was sent in by an Acres of Diamonds man. And I think that it does a great job in explaining the changes that are being put forth in the world marketplace, especially in the financial part of it. And you know, that's something that we've sure been talking about. Brother Paul's been commenting about the changes in the weather that we've been seeing. And you know, change, even in Bible days, change doesn't, sometimes it happens immediately, for sure. But many times, because our God is patient, not wanting any to perish, but wanting all to come to repentance, he allows change to happen over a period of time. And that is, I think, like those fiery ordeals, it's for our testing. It's so that we have time, because we are the apple of his eye, but you know what? We are a stiff-necked people. We are. That's you know, two characteristics of God's people. They are the apple of his eye. We are, but we are also a stiff-necked people, and usually take time to change. And so, anyway, the big thing with this is that Russia put their rubles to a gold standard. It's like 5,000 rubles to a gram of gold. And then they said they wanted payment for oil, natural gas, and other of its significant exports in rubles. And so, you know, when Germany says, well, we have no rubles, the Russians say, well, we'll take gold. And so I think it's another step to getting the dollar being moved away from being the world currency, and getting the ruble and the Chinese yuan, I don't know, however you pronounce it, but they're in there as well. And so several quotes, it's just a little two-page article, but several quotes here I see this, that, you know, one of the quotes, the dominant role of a global currency is on a tipping point model. He compares it back to when the British pound served as the global currency until the 1950s. And then the British pound was no more. No more the global currency. You may think, well, you know, that's on the worldwide scale. How does that affect me here in Hoboken, Wisconsin, you know, or Tampa, Florida, or wherever it is? Well, I wanted to put it in there when I saw this from this Acres of Diamonds man, because it does. It talks about, it's another example of the change that is occurring. We have seen changes in our environment. We have certainly seen changes in our society. You know, the America of old is gone. It is. That America that Pastor Peters so eloquently talked about in the 1950s of walking down the street and saying hi to your neighbor because they were out on the front porch swing and children playing in the street. And I grew up in the 70s, and we had some of that. We lived out in the country, not really in a in-town community, but you still had that. You didn't have to lock your doors. You left your keys in your car when you went to town, the grocery store or the store. All through high school, every pickup truck there had a shotgun and a 22 or a 30-30 rifle in the gun rack. in the cab of the truck. They were loaded. The trucks were never locked. And never had a problem. All across this country. But see, those days are gone. That America is gone. It has changed. Seems like we had a president talked about change just a few years ago. You remember him? Well, change has certainly occurred. And it continues to, right? It continues to. This Build Back Better, I know we'd all be better off if he would just put it back the way it was and leave it alone. The Build Back Better is to destroy the America that was, Christian America, and to build back their view of America, a socialist, communistic world, just another Kenya, Nairobi, Rhodesia, just another third world country, like so many others. And Remnant, you know it is the grace of God and that he's allowed us to keep our firearms that has put that off. Our God is patient. I certainly encourage the Remnant to do whatever they have to protect themselves and their family. It is your responsibility, Christian father and husband, to provide for your family. If you don't, the Bible says you're worse than a non-believer. You're worse than an infidel. And that includes protecting them. Now, do I put my trust in a 9mm or a 45 or a 30-30 or a 30-06 or a 308 or a 5.56 or a 223 or that new, what is it, 6.5 Grendel or a 6.5 Creedmoor? There's all kind of new stuff out there. No. No, we don't put our trust in that. But we don't put them away. We don't bury them. And we don't give them up. What other nation is there that hasn't? There are none. What other Christian nations are there? I've asked this question before. Nobody's called or written or emailed or anything and said, oh, this country over here, they're still Christian. They still have their firearms. Australia doesn't. Canada doesn't. Nothing in South America does. Down there in Venezuela, who, 20 years ago had a higher middle class than the United States did and does, and in 20 years, they're eating out of the dump, if they eat at all. And if they protest too much, the government just runs over them. We've seen those videos. We've shared that with you. You know that. That's what they want for this nation. And so, the almighty dollar can never fail. Well, the rubles, the yen, they're growing and growing and growing. Saw this headline today. Reuters reported that the Biden administration exported over 5 million barrels of oil from the U.S. Strategic Petroleum Reserve to Europe and China. Now, we talked about just a month or so ago how Biden had told Europe, hey, you don't have to buy all your oil from Russia. We'll make up the difference as you start trimming back and not buying so much. And so what he's done is pulled oil from the strategic petroleum reserve and sent it over there. While we're paying, I think gas is averaging about $5 a gallon now. Diesel, $5.80 to over $6. And so the administration and the ruling, the authorities that we have, they are doing a very good job at what they are tasked with doing. I hope that the remnant that we can start using that that terminology. You know, instead of, you know, when people say, I can't believe they're doing that. Why would we send oil to Europe and China when we're paying $7 a gallon for gas? And so when people ask you that, when people make that statement, say, well, that's what O'Biden is supposed to do. He's supposed to destroy the U.S. economy. That's his job. It was a Fox News headline a couple weeks ago. He's killing the economy. Absolutely. And you know what? Not many people will argue with you. Because they see it. See, I think that's the principle of why those Georgia Guidestones, once they were attacked, they were taken down. Let's not, what was it? The first color movie that made it in the United States, The Wizard of Oz, and toward the end, pay no attention to the man behind the curtain, the little midget back there with the smoke and mirrors and pushing the buttons and levers, who was really the the smoke and mirrors behind the great and terrible Oz. And it is like that today. We have all this smoke and mirrors, and the great and terrible Oz is just, it is our fear, and it's a result from God's people turning away from him, just like has happened all throughout the Bible. I was flipping through. I can only take so much of that National Jewish Radio before I've got to change it. And I really don't sing the country songs. It's all, you know, getting drunk on a plane or something, and I don't do that. And so I'm flipping down to this Grace FM, and I'm hearing this pastor preaching about in Ezekiel 38 and 39, how there's going to be this war, and they're all going to come against Israel, but there's going to be a pact, and it's going to be over there in the mountains of Israel and over in that desert and on and on and on. And I could only take about 30 seconds of that, and I'd had to just get quiet again. And they all put out the same garbage. And they are as 180 degrees off as they can be. You know, one of the things that that we've read in there, all these nations from the north, and of course it's talking about Gog and Magog, and about how in Ezekiel and then also in Revelations how they come against Israel. Now, why would anybody want to go against these financial wizards in that godforsaken sandbox over there? As opposed to, we know the Russians, the Chinese, as well as countless millions of invading immigrants have come into this country. Why? Well, for the benefits, for the natural resources, for the land, for their people. Anyway, I didn't mean to get off on that, but it just, 30 seconds to a minute, and you hear it 3 or 4 months later, and it's just the same babble on that these preachers put out, that all this is going to happen over there in a foreign time, in a time yet to be revealed, and see, there it is right there, and they fail to see the new Jerusalem, spelled Jerusalem. They don't see those keys, those hints that are in there. Well, that brings me to we've been in the newsletter. We have a special we have for a few months on 13 of Colonel Moore's books. Couldn't list all of them. And we have probably that many more of his. Maybe we'll get to that eventually. But one of the books, and it's the part of the introduction, is we're featuring in this Volume 6 Dragon Slayer, is this yellow-covered book by Pastor Colonel Moore, The Gog-Magog Alliance. And it's, as he says on here, an updated version of a closer look at Ezekiel 38 and 39 as seen in international events of 1999. That's 23 years ago, folks. And so when you take a look at it, we encourage you to. We've sent a lot out. I've still got a couple cases left, so we're going to send them out as long as we've got them. But 8.5 by 11 book, biblical as it can be, but when you take a look at it and you read it, a lot of this has to do, well, the introduction anyway, talks about President Clinton and going into Bosnia and the communism that was being fought over there, the Zionist communists, and anyway, so I would encourage you, if this is of any interest to you at all, what is going on now in the Ukraine with Russia, this Gog-Magog Alliance, written for leading up to 1999, it just sets the stage for what, what was going on then and what is going on today. Anyway, so I encourage you, if you're familiar with listening to Colonel Moore, it's got a great about the author, Colonel Moore, a couple pages of that kind of gives you a quick rundown of who he was and who he is. And then, like I said, we just could put some of the introduction in here. But it does a really good job of explaining the Gog and Magog, the Mesech, the Tubal, Asher, Javan, the merchants of Tarshish. And so it's a book you need to have. It really is. And I would encourage you that if you order this, order the speech in the book that we have by General U.S. Marine Corps General, retired General Smedley Butler, called War is a Racket. And if you take a look at these, and I, by no means, I do not mean to demean any of our men in uniform, any of the men or women that are serving in the armed forces, not at all. We are to have a ready defense. We are to defend. But this Gog-Magog Alliance and the book, War is a Racket, will give you insight from someone who has been there, from someone that has eyes to see. And they lay the groundwork. They really do. They do a good job doing that. So that's why we're advertising it again and promoting it. We do have the 13 books by Colonel Moore. If you get all them together, there's a discount on them. You can take a look. That's in our newsletter. And we're continuing that because it's had a good response from some people that have been on the ministry for years and a lot of the new people as well that have come on just in the last months and years that might be unfamiliar with these prophetic teachings from 20 and 30 years ago that we are living today. We are seeing them come true and living them. And so that's the Gog-Magog Alliance. And so did want to, again, take just a second to let you know we're working on volume 6 of the newsletter. We're printing it. It is, I got about a fourth of it done through today. And so our plan is we'll be mailing that next week, and then, of course, working on the online version of that, and we'll be getting that out to you. And Remnant, when we talk about these things again, I always try to not necessarily close, but, you know, remind you that it is not for fear that we want you to be aware of these things that are happening. It gives you an opportunity to, like I said, to share maybe a little biblical knowledge, a little biblical understanding with those that may not have that as to why these things are going on. And it gives us an opportunity to grow in our faith. To see this, we have to remember the Christianity is not failing. God's word is not failing. It is coming true. And Christianity, true Christianity, it is growing. Oh, there may be thousands that are blind, but there are those that are having their eyes opened. There are. Like we pray in the pistol prayer, the spells, they're ceasing. They're not, they don't carry the power that they used to before the remnant started praying against them. And so I want you to be encouraged. Be encouraged. Jesus said in Matthew 9, he said, "It is not those who are healthy who need a physician, but those who are sick." And so, for those of us that once were blind but now can see, for those of us that once were lost but now are found, for those of us that once were sick but we've met the great physician, it's not that Jesus is not for us anymore and this gospel is not for us. No, it's that now that that we have met the physician, we need to introduce others to him and share this word with them. It goes on and he says, "Go and learn what this means. I desire compassion and not sacrifice, for I didn't come to call the righteous but sinners." And that word compassion means mercy. And so pray for those that are sinning. Whereas it in Timothy, pray for those in authority, those elected officials, pray for those. And you can pray for them that those that can repent would lead in godly ways. And for those that are like Goliath, those that are creatures of instinct created to be destroyed, well, Lord, contend with those that contend with us. His word says that. We can sure pray that. And it says that if we will do that, it allows us to have a quiet and tranquil life. I like that. Well, guys, we're out of time. Thank you for tuning in. Mick, thanks for the phone call. And Remnant, we're planning on church Sunday morning, having some live messages, a little bit of everything for you again. Might be another little tag team. We'll see. But we're planning on being there Sunday morning, so we hope you will join us there. God bless, and may the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob bless all of those that are his. Bless you and keep you and make his face shine upon you. In Jesus' name, amen.
I try to hold on to this world with everything I have, but I feel the weight of what it brings and the hurt that tries to grab. The many trials that seem to never end, His word declares this truth, that we will enter in this rest with wonders anew. But I hold on to this hope in the promise that he brings, that there will be a place with no more suffering. There will be a day with no more tears, no more pain, and no more fears. There will be a day when the burdens of this place will be no more. We'll see Jesus face to face. But until that day, we'll hold on to you always. I know the journey seems so long. You feel you're walking on your own. There has never been a step